Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Police search the home of a Charlotte man linked to the disappearance of Alicia Watts. We'll share video from that scene and the next steps for the Watts family.
And the heat index has already soared past 100 today. I'll let you know when it could reach numbers closer to 110 coming up.
Also, Cary could soon welcome a new child care facility. Who would benefit from the 10,000 square foot development?
The search for Alicia Watts has taken authorities to three different counties, including Moore County, which is where she's from. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. New this noon hour, we're working to find out what authorities found when they searched her boyfriend's home. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us now to walk us through the status of this investigation. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, Alicia Watts' family desperate for answers about where she could be or what's happened to her. Let's get right to that new video recorded on a cell phone of Charlotte Mecklenburg police officers searching the home of Alicia Watts' boyfriend, James Dunmore. Police can be seen going in and out of that house in Northeast Charlotte. No word yet on what authorities found or if Dunmore is a suspect or person of interest in Watts' disappearance. Now, this search coming one day after a busload of Watts' family and friends made a trip to Charlotte looking for answers. Watts was last seen on July 16th when she went to Charlotte to see a comedy show with Dunmore. She hasn't been seen since. Police say officers found Dunmore unresponsive in Watts' vehicle in Anson County 2 days later. Her family says the 39-year-old never made it to that comedy show, and when she didn't show up for work on the 17th, they knew something was wrong. We are working to find out more information about James Dunmore. As this investigation continues, we will stay on top of this story and bring you any new developments as they come into the newsroom.
With each day that goes by, her loved ones get more and more concerned. Ken, thank you.
July is on track to become the hottest month on record. The first 3 weeks broke several significant records, including the hottest day globally. We're feeling it here in the Triangle for certain. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at today's scorching temperatures. Kat.
And, you know, Jeff, the heat index already above 100 there in Raleigh. A live look from the Natural Sciences Museum. It's nice and sunny outside, but boy, is it a sizzling hot day. Currently, the temperature, and it's just noon, we still have 3 to 4 hours of heating potential. It's 92 out in the Triangle with a heat index up to 104 in Raleigh as well as Durham. Feels like 99 in Fayetteville right now, feeling like 100 in Southern Pines and South Hill, 88 degrees with a heat index of 99 in Clinton. You just can't escape the heat, really, no matter where you are. And unfortunately, these numbers continue to increase. So tomorrow and Saturday, those will be the 2 days with the more dangerous heat expected. We could get up to 103 even in Roxboro tomorrow, 108 in the Triangle as well as Rocky Mount and Fayetteville, 105 in Southern Pines, 106 in Goldsboro tomorrow. Still mainly dry tomorrow. Saturday, a small chance of a thunderstorm, but the numbers just keep climbing. 110 is our heat index potential in the Triangle on Saturday. That's really a dangerous number and would likely be the hottest we see all year long. So please take it easy as we head into the weekend. It may feel like 109 in Fayetteville and Durham, 110 in Clinton, and 109 in Rocky Mount. Outside today, we have seen the big heat with us, so we want to remind you, even though it gets worse in the coming days, still take these precautions. Even starting today, drink plenty of water, try to stay in the shade, wear light clothing, and don't ever leave your kids or pets in the car. Not much to see on the dual Doppler 5000 radar for now, but as I mentioned, our storm chances go up a little bit into the weekend. I'll have a closer look at which counties are under a level one threat for severe storms on Saturday coming up.
Kat, thank you. Climatologists believe the intense heat is a trend that will worsen for years to come. Duke University researcher Ashley Ward said this morning that long stretches of intense heat likely will become more common.
This is not an acute event. You know, typically you think about a 3 to 5 day event. We're talking about a new chronic state of being for heat season.
Ward says it's possible this summer could be the coolest for the rest of our lives. Well, people can find some relief from the heat at cooling stations in Wake County. The county's Health and Human Services Centers and regional centers will be open today and tomorrow. They will be open until 5:15 p.m. Public libraries will also be open today through Sunday during normal business hours.
A big child care center could be coming to Cary, not far from the future Apple campus. WRL's Brian Schrader has a look at the big decision facing town councilors right now, Brian.
Jeff, we are talking about a big child care center, 10,000 square feet. Maryland-based Celebree School wants to build that facility on Green Level Church Road near Kit Creek Road. That would be less than 2 miles from the planned Apple campus, and it would be the company's first location in North Carolina. The Cary Town Council is holding a public hearing at tonight's meeting, and then they will decide on annexing the land so they can go forward with that project. Celebree officials say they plan to open, hopefully, by the end of this year.
Happening right now in the WREL Life Center, former President Donald Trump's attorneys are meeting with prosecutors as a potential federal indictment looms. The lawyers who met with special counsel Jack Smith were told to expect an indictment. Trump announced last week that he received a letter notifying him that he is the target of a grand jury examining the January 6th riot efforts, as well as his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Trump's lawyers hope to delay this any potential plans that the grand jury has by meeting today. Michelle, thanks. A carefully crafted plea agreement between President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and prosecutors fell apart during a hearing. Trump-appointed Judge Mary Ellen Noreika refused to accept the terms linking the tax plea deal to a felony gun charge. NBC's Ryan Nobles explains what's next in the case.
This was, by any measure, a stunning development in a Wilmington courthouse yesterday. Hunter Biden and his legal team had expected the judge to just sign off on a plea arrangement that they'd agreed to with federal prosecutors that would allow Biden to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax charges. But it became clear very early on that the judge in this case was concerned that the two sides were not on the same page when it came to the parameters of that plea arrangement. And then separately, that she was concerned that she did not want to be responsible for monitoring Biden's participation in a diversion program that would allow him to avoid a gun charge that carries with it a 10-year prison sentence. What it means now is that the two sides have 30 days to come up with a new agreement that the judge can feel comfortable signing off on. But it also enters in a whole new round of political problems for Hunter Biden's father, the president of the United States. Republicans were already insistent that they were going to continue to investigate Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings, and then by extension, whether or not there was any direct connection to the president himself. In court yesterday, prosecutors admitted that the federal investigation into Hunter Biden's business dealings is still ongoing. Now, it's important to keep in mind, while Republicans insist that there's a connection between Hunter Biden and his father when it comes to his business dealings, they've yet to provide any hard evidence that the president himself has done anything wrong.
And that was NBC's Ryan Nobles reporting. The White House would not say much about the case. Republicans appear to be moving forward on an impeachment inquiry as their investigation continues.
The Ohio police officer seen on video releasing his canine partner on an unarmed black man has now been fired.
Do not release the dog with his hands up. Do not release the dog with his hands up. Do not release the dog with his hands up.
Yeah, that body camera video shows the incident from the 4th of July. Ex-officer Ryan Speakman's dog charged Jajarius Rose after he surrendered with his hands up. On Wednesday, the Circleville Police Department said that Speakman did not meet the standards and expectations they hold for their officers. Rose was taken to a nearby hospital to be treated. He's charged with failure to comply after leading officers on a 30-minute highway chase. An Arizona teen has been found after running away from home 4 years ago. Officials say Alicia Navarro was reported missing by her family in 2019, but has now been found safe. They say she was found in a Montana town near the Canadian border and has been reunited with her family. Alicia stopped by a local police department in the area alone and identified herself. Police in Arizona will continue to investigate the circumstances surrounding her disappearance.
The U.S. women's march for a third straight World Cup hit a bit of a snag in their game against the Netherlands. The U.S. trailed the Netherlands 1-0 at halftime after giving up a goal early in the first half. Lindsey Horan got the Americans back in the game, though, with this second half goal to tie it at one apiece. And that's how the game ended. The Americans will be looking to get a win or a draw against Portugal in the last group stage game to guarantee that they advance to the next round. Portugal beat Vietnam 2-0 in a game
earlier this morning. And because the World Cup is being played in New Zealand, big time difference. So the next time the U.S. women play against Portugal to wrap up the group stage, that will be Tuesday morning starting at 3. You're probably going to have to set your alarms for that one. You can watch it live on Fox 50.
GalaxyCon got started today in Raleigh, giving fans a chance to meet celebrities from TV and movies. Organizers say the strikes in Hollywood will change things this year just a bit. They say all the celebrities who have committed and have been advertised for the convention will still appear and sign autographs and take photos, but they will not be able to talk about their current projects, and other topics related to their work may also be off limits. Fans will also not be allowed to ask questions during panel discussions. GalaxyCon is happening today through Sunday at the Raleigh Convention Center.
Next at noon, sudden cardiac arrest. It's scary enough to hear those words, but when it's a teenager, there's even more concern. The free event to make sure your kids are heart healthy to play sports.
Also, as of this morning, we are seeing the highest gas prices in more than a year. The reasons behind the price hike.
Plus, a weapon of mass destruction found in Holly Springs. At 12:30, we'll have a live report on what's next for the man arrested.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A cardiac arrest can happen quickly and without warning, and it's not just in older adults, as we saw with 18-year-old Bronny James suffering a cardiac arrest this week. LeBron James' son is recovering, but news of a medical emergency striking a young, seemingly healthy athlete raises concerns for parents whose kids play sports. That's why Wake Med will host an EKG screening event called Sport Fit Heart, especially for tweens and teens. Joining us now on the program is Dr. Jason Ho. He's a Wake Med pediatric cardiologist. Dr. Ho, great to have you with us. This is so timely, especially as parents are getting ready to have their kids go back to school and sports is starting back up. Let's start with this startling statistic that a young competitive athlete dies suddenly every 3 days in the U.S. Now, for parents who are watching, if your kid wants to play a sport, they're already playing a sport, what's something that they can do to avoid becoming that statistic?
Well, hopefully the kids are honest with their parents if they have any symptoms, you know, things like chest pain, shortness of breath, or abnormal heartbeats with exercise especially. But sometimes these warning signs can occur at rest as well. I think it's also important to kind of be aware of family history, because a lot of these conditions will actually run in families. And a lot of times people don't know they have it until something happens.
And you assume that tweens and teens, they have healthy hearts, but there are ways to check their heart condition. They should request an EKG?
That's right. There are multiple tests that you can do to do a full evaluation. You know, echocardiogram, which is ultrasound of the heart, stress tests, EKGs, physical exam. And so the EKG is a very easy, quick, and relatively inexpensive test that can catch a lot of abnormalities, especially the kind of more prominent causes of sudden cardiac death in athletes, such as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is the number one cause by far, Wolff Parkinson-White, things like that, that can be found in EKG. Now, unfortunately, EKG can't catch everything, so that's where you really have to have a high index of suspicion with patients. If there's a family history of sudden death, if they have chest pain with exercise and other symptoms like that, then you kind of become more involved with the workup.
But it is a pretty good way to detect if there is something irregular with the heart. And you're doing those screenings at an event that's coming up. Tell us about the Wake Med Sport Fit Heart event.
Yes, ma'am. So we have been doing this since 2017. You know, Wake Med has always wanted to have a big role in giving back to the community. And so there are three of us here at Pediatric Cardiologists at Wake Med who felt like this was a great opportunity to give back to the community and do screenings. So we did it before the pandemic, of course, and this will be our second go-around since then. We were in Raleigh earlier this year, and we're planning to rotate between Raleigh, Apex, and Clayton and do this on a regular basis. And the timing is more than coincidental. We know that school's starting up soon, mm-hmm. and kids will be going back to sports and need clearance. And so this will be a nice opportunity for parents, free to the community to come and bring their children to be screened. The way it involves is the patient and their parents will come in, and there's a questionnaire that they'll answer. Things like, have you ever been told that you have a murmur? Have you ever had chest pain with exercise? Have you ever had any abnormal heartbeats? Is there any family history? Things like that. And then we'll do an EKG and take a look at it, and usually, thankfully, most of them normal. We reassure the families. We also have ultrasounds available, so we can do a quick couple pictures on echocardiogram to see if we see an EKG is abnormal or suggests an abnormality. We can check real quick, and if obviously there's something abnormal, we'll actually bring them back to clinic and restrict them.
So, Dr. Ho, this is for kids ages 11 through 18, free heart health screenings there Thursday, August 17th. And if they're not able to make it, perhaps they can ask their doctor about getting a screening if they're playing sports. Dr. Jason Ho with WakeMed, thank you so much for talking to us about this and for letting parents know about this event.
Sure. Thank you for this opportunity.
And so important. Here's a good reminder and a happy ending so far. DeMar Hamlin getting ready to return to game action just months after he suffered cardiac arrest on the field. Hamlin was full go in practice yesterday, the first day of training camp for the Buffalo Bills. The team's head coach says Hamlin has their full support, but they are taking things one step at a time as he returns. It's been almost 2 weeks now since a Maryland woman nearly drowned in a pool. This week, she had a chance to thank one of the Good Samaritans who saved her life. Tamara Williams fought back tears with big smiles during her virtual meeting with one of the men who helped save her life. Williams and her friend were spotted struggling for breath in the deep end of a pool in Washington, D.C. Dr. Jermaine Hunter was with a group of witnesses who didn't miss a beat. Once the women were pulled out from the pool, Hunter, who is a trained CPR instructor, as well as the others, they got to work.
Wanted to really say thank you because I know that first initial compressions were really what saved our lives. So I'm just so grateful to you.
Being on the scene, wow. Williams says that after this experience, she plans to get trained in CPR. Maybe she can return the favor to somebody one day.
So important to have those life-saving skills. And so many folks are going to be at the pool today on this hot scorcher of a day, right?
No question. Need to be, anyway. Kat Campbell's in the WRS Severe Weather Center, headed towards the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you walk outside today, it is just like you are melting. You kind of have to turn on the car, turn on the air conditioning, and then wait it out for a few minutes before you can even get in. And this weekend, these numbers just keep climbing. The humidity climbing, the temperatures climbing, and therefore the heat index as well. 98 is our forecast high tomorrow. We had 97 yesterday, and that's what we're forecasting today. And yesterday, the hottest day so far this year, but we're probably going to beat that by Friday and Saturday, up to 99 on Saturday. Still not pulling the plug on going with 100 just yet. And that's because I think we have a slightly better chance of storms on Saturday. And then Sunday, we are up to 95 degrees for the high. Futurecast, let's take a look at what to expect for your weekend. I know a lot of folks want to plan your weekend. Maybe you want to head to a lake or pool and you're curious about rain. For Friday, just a small chance tomorrow that we would see a quick shower or storm pop up. It's a slightly better chance than today. Saturday, it's still a relatively low chance of storms, but I do think that we will see a few isolated storms firing up on Saturday, and the better chance of storms would likely come on Sunday with this front moving in. Some scattered thunderstorms could fire up in the evening. Now, that's a low-resolution model, so I think it looks more dramatic than what the radar will really look like, but you get a better idea that there would be more activity Sunday compared to Saturday. Still, even though the chance for storms is relatively low on Saturday, any storms that develop in that really, really hot and humid environment, it's all energy that's around in the atmosphere. So those could intensify. Damaging wind gusts will be possible. And that's why there's a level one threat just north of the triangle up into Virginia on Saturday. And we'll be monitoring that potential quite closely. Satellite and radar showing some clouds off just west of the mountains. Here locally, high pressure is in control. So things are pretty quiet here at home so far today. We have seen a few pop-up showers closer to the coast today. But the big story is, of course, the heat. And there are heat advisories, even excessive heat warnings there in that magenta color where it feels like 114 in parts of the Midwest. We expect at least parts of our viewing area will be placed in a heat advisory tomorrow. So check in for an update on our evening news starting at 4 o'clock. Typically, if we see heat advisories issued, those are issued around that 2 to 4 p.m. timeframe. So we'll have an update for you. I certainly would think we would have a heat advisory for the area on Saturday, especially given that we could get up to 110 for the heat index. I mean, these are dangerous numbers, even here in North Carolina. So take it easy this weekend. Take care of yourself and others in this heat. Once we get to next week, I do have some good news for you. Low temperatures back in the 60s, and that's a sign it's a little bit less humid next week and a little bit less hot. It's going to be feeling pretty good, 88 degrees on Tuesday.
We'll take it after this heat wave. Kat, thank you. If you don't function your best in these hot temperatures, you are far from alone. WRL Data Trackers looks at a new trend showing worker and employee productivity dropping as temperatures climb higher. The billions of dollars it will cost our economy tonight at 6.
And at 5:30, local high school students have created a cancer testing device that doesn't require a doctor visit. We'll explain how this group is working to save countless women's lives and how it works. Plus, still ahead this noon, the new social platform X is requiring more payments upon gold status. Coming up, how that change will affect advertisers using their services.
And manufacturers are reinventing wheels for electric cars. Just ahead, we'll explain the changes and the effect on our environment. You may notice a higher price at the gas pumps today. This week, we are seeing the highest jump in gas prices since June of last year. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the reason behind the surge.
Over the past 3 days, we've seen the biggest overnight price jumps in over a year. We're at a Shell station on Six Forks Road in Raleigh, where gas is $3.49 a gallon. That's right around the state average that AAA released earlier this morning at $3.50 a gallon. Average gas prices nationwide have spiked 11 cents in the past 72 hours. Drivers haven't experienced anything like that since last June. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says drivers should brace for even higher prices next month.
Hurricanes that target areas like Texas and Louisiana, that could cause prices to go up even more dramatically if there is a major hurricane that heads for those areas in August, which is really when the peak of hurricane season begins.
But there is some good news. DeHaan says that we should see those prices go down by October or November. Till then, you'll just have to find those bargains. If you're looking for the cheapest prices in your area, head to our website, WRL.com, and search for Fuel Tracker. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
And let's take a look at the gas price averages released by AAA this morning, showing the national average $3.71. In North Carolina, we are below that, $3.50 a gallon. In Raleigh, it's $3.51. That is up 16 cents in the last week.
Meta is reporting heavy losses in its high-tech ventures. The parent company of Facebook and Instagram reports it has lost more than $21 billion since the start of last year. The deficit extends from Meta Reality Labs that make virtual and augmented units like Meta Quest 2 and Quest Pro headsets. Meta says additional losses are expected as they try to balance product development. The new Twitter X continues to evolve as it now tracks how much advertisers are spending. The company is now requiring new payments for advertisements, or a re-verification fee may happen. The platform wants advertisers to pay nearly $1,000 a month to maintain gold status. X also plans to drop ad prices by 50% through July 31st to help the site regain declining revenues.
We want Travis home. We want him well. We want to make sure he's safe.
The family of a U.S. soldier pleads for his safe return from North Korea.
Plus, we've done stories about tiny homes being used as vacation rentals or for people who are experiencing homelessness. But some people say they could also be the solution to the housing crisis. We'll talk about that as well as take a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A man charged with possession of a weapon of mass destruction is expected to appear in court in about an hour.
This all stems from an incident at the Sheets on Avon Ferry Road in Holly Springs last night. WRL's Brett Neese is live at the Wake County Justice Center. Brett, what does this charge mean?
Well, Jeff, Norman Bray will face multiple drug charges and that weapons of mass destruction charge. That charge because police say that he had an improvised explosive device in his car. Take a look. This is the 50-year-old's mugshot here, and this all happened at the Sheets in Holly Springs yesterday, just after 5 p.m. Police arrested Bray, blocked off the parking lot of that Sheets, and evacuated the store until the materials and devices could be properly disposed of. I spoke with a lawyer about that weapons of mass destruction charge. He says it's actually a broad term, and something like a sawed-off shotgun is considered a weapon of mass destruction. In this case, police believe Bray had some sort of homemade explosive device. Now the focus of the investigation will turn to why he had that in his car and what his plan was. Bray will make his first appearance at 1:30 this afternoon. We'll be there in court, and we'll let you know what happens on our later newscasts. Jeff.
All right, very interesting details there, Brett. Thanks for reporting live in Holly Springs.
Three Camp Lejeune Marines were found dead inside a vehicle. They died of carbon monoxide poisoning. 19-year-old Lance Corporal Tanner Kaltenberg, 23-year-old Lance Corporal Mirek Stockery, and 23-year-old Lance Corporal Ivan Garcia were found dead in a car outside a Speedway gas station in Hampstead early Sunday morning. One of their mothers called 911 to report her son missing after she said he never arrived on his flight to Oklahoma the night before. The family of a U.S. soldier who reportedly dashed across the border into North Korea more than a week ago is expressing their anguish. Travis King's loved one spoke exclusively with NBC News, calling his action uncharacteristic.
Everybody think that it was a suicide attempt. He had no reason to commit suicide.
Exactly.
He had a whole family to come home to.
I just feel like the story is way deeper than what I can imagine. I just feel like deep down in my heart, my brother was afraid of something. Because why would he run? You know, what was his point if he was coming home?
U.S. officials say there have been no new communications between the United Nations and North Korea since last week.
Some people in Wake County are concerned they won't be able to pay their property taxes on the homes after last month's increase. Currently, Wake County has three different programs to help with property taxes. They include senior and disabled, tax deferment, and disabled veterans programs. Thousands of people received help last year. For those who don't qualify, Wake County has found a way to offer assistance with other homeowner expenses.
We've put in a number of programs that help people with their utility bills. They can help first-time home buyers by providing low-interest loans. They can help seniors in particular, but really anybody, make improvements or repairs that are necessary repairs to their homes.
If you're interested in applying for assistance, you can do that through the Wake County government website.
More than 70% of Americans cannot afford the median price of a new single-family home. Some people say tiny homes are the solution to the housing crisis. Mills Hayes spoke with one woman who chose to downsize in her twilight years.
Minnesotan Patty Beldy retired and left her St. Paul home of 40-plus years behind for the country in Cambridge, Minnesota.
Oh, and here's my chickens.
My sons and daughter kept on saying, you know, why don't you look into those tiny homes and you can put it on one of our properties.
And that's exactly what she did. At around 500 square feet, her home is about one quarter the size of the average American home, and it sits just feet away from her new job, taking care of her two grandkids.
They're affordable, and you can, you know, you can still live. All of your money isn't being taken away.
Nicole Diemer opened Yard Homes Minnesota in 2020, hoping to provide a solution for affordable housing.
I felt like we were lacking tiny homes. There was a lot of them on the East Coast, a lot of them on the West Coast, but not here in the Midwest. We've got family members that are moving from out of state to the cities to live in their children's backyards.
You might have seen Zach Griffin on the popular television show Tiny House Nation on A&E and Netflix.
It's filling the gaps in our housing ladder, where we really just don't have any smaller, kind of more affordable housing that's available. And it's especially a big problem for older Americans that are looking for ways to downsize for retirement.
But many local governments have to change building or zoning codes to allow tiny homes. That process can take years.
The whole industry is set to explode as soon as the legislation kind of catches up.
That was Mills Hayes reporting. In case you're wondering, tiny homes are allowed in Wake County. They are limited to 800 square feet and two stories in height.
We now know who is officially the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers as their season gets started. Coach Frank Reich wasted no time naming rookie Bryce Young the team's starting quarterback, QB1 for game one. Reich made the announcement yesterday as the Panthers met for the first day of training camp. Regular season gets started September 10th in Atlanta.
Still to come, a FedEx driver goes above and beyond the heroic action he took when he saw a burning vehicle on the side of a road.
Flat tires could soon be a thing of the past. The technology to produce tires that never deflate. We welcome you back with this beautiful shot in Anger. Good afternoon to you. It is hot, 91 degrees there right now. It's hot all over the triangle. As you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Take a look at this surveillance video showing the moments a truck crashed right through that Clayton Tire Shop. Employees say they're glad everyone was able to walk away alive. A red pickup truck swerved off the street into a ditch and then directly into Rockside Tire Shop. The driver and a store employee were both injured. The general manager says the employee is recovering.
They were sitting right here and they saw the truck coming, and of course they hollered, "Get out of the way," and one of the boys didn't get out quick enough, and one of the tires clipped his right leg, I think, and this guy, he's in some pain, but he's going to be okay maybe Monday or Tuesday next week.
GM Harry Edwards hopes to have the tire shop back open by the first of the week. Store employees say this incident stresses the importance of paying attention when driving.
A FedEx worker in California is being praised for saving a man from a burning vehicle just moments before the vehicle explodes. The employee noticed a burning vehicle on the side of the highway right before 3 a.m. yesterday. A guardrail pierced through the driver's side of the sedan, and the man had a serious leg injury. Instinctively, the FedEx driver jumped out of his truck and pulled the driver away from the flames.
If I was hurt, or, you know, my family or her or anybody, you know, if it looks like there's some way that you might need to help somebody, why not stop and help them?
If you ask, he won't call himself a hero. He says he's simply someone doing the right thing.
Want that guy on my side. A company in L.A. is revealing a new tire that it says will never go flat, and it'll help reduce pollution as well. How these tires made of metal mesh could soon help lunar rovers carry out missions in space.
Plus, it looks like a hairy pig without a snout, but it's actually native to South America, where these pups now call home after the break. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Houston, Texas, after an explosion at a recycling facility. This is a live picture of that facility. You can see all the firefighters there on scene. A lot of smoke right now. This happened in Houston, Texas. Houston police say the yard caught fire after some type of explosion. This is all happening right now. We're not sure of any injuries or deaths, but this is a recycling yard in Houston, Texas. This huge mess after an explosion happened there. We'll stay on top of this and bring you any details from the live center. Those of you with electric vehicles will soon have more options to power up. Seven major automakers are teaming up to double the number of fast electric chargers across the U.S. It's a move to drive more people to buy EVs. BMW, General Motors, Honda, Hyundai, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, and more will invest at least $1 billion in this joint venture. The first chargers will go up in 2024. The project is expected to conclude over the course of 10 years. The semiconductor industry could face a critical shortage in the near future. A recent study reveals that the industry will be short 37,000 workers by 2030. The U.S. will need 460,000 workers by that deadline, and graduates aren't being produced fast enough. Shortages include computer scientists, engineers, and technicians.
With more auto companies putting greater emphasis on the manufacturing of electric vehicles to help lower our impacts on the environment, the tires that they'll drive on in the future are also getting a sustainable makeover. Ted Lindner explains the closer look at the airless tires one company says will never deflate.
Imagine never having to replace your tires ever again. It might seem like a cost-effective and sustainable dream, but Los Angeles-based The Smart Tire Company says it's closer to becoming a reality than you think, all thanks to its airless tires.
We're trying to really change the world.
The inside of the tires are made from a special material called shape memory alloy.
It's a very flexible, lightweight metal that's elastic like rubber, but strong like titanium. So you can actually deflect a tire way down to the rim, and it would just always bounce back to its original shape.
And that means
it's an airless tire. Punctures don't matter. It would never, ever get a flat. So your tire can last the life of your vehicle.
But while the metal interior is encased with rubber to give vehicles grip on the road, these tires use less rubber than traditional ones.
It's going to be one of the first retreadable tires. So the only thing you have to change is the tread.
Meanwhile, with the popularity of electric vehicles expected to increase over time, heads at the Smart Tire Company say their tires are better suited for these driving machines.
Being that electric vehicles are much more heavier, it makes the normal tires now wear out quicker. So using shape memory alloys as the structural element, it actually has a heavier weight carrying.
They look pretty neat, too. Mm-hmm. It's Ted Lindner reporting, and before those tires become commercialized, the company is expected to release an airless bicycle tire next spring. And it's also working with NASA for lunar rovers. NASA thinks it will use them on the next mission to the moon.
Tires that never deflate? I can roll with that.
At what cost, I wonder? You know, keep them for a lifetime. We'll see.
We keep rolling through this heat wave. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with how hot it's going to feel.
And, you know, a lot of people are just trying to figure out a way to stay cool this weekend. I know a lot of people are going to be headed to the pools, the beaches. Maybe the mountains would be a good way to escape the heat. Depends on where you go, though. Even Asheville, 92 on Saturday, with a heat index factoring in closer to the mid to upper 90s in parts of the southern mountains. Grandfather Mountain, some of the higher elevations you might get in. A little bit of luck there, 78 degrees is the high on Saturday. And that sounds great compared to our 99 here locally. There will be a better chance for a few summertime storms in the mountains. And that's because the mountains, because of the terrain, really help to lift the air and trigger some of those storms that develop. And by Sunday, about a 50-50 shot at some storms in the mountains, but still, you know, it's 89 even in Asheville on Sunday, 74 in Grandfather Mountain. Carolina Beach looking good today. You can see a lot of people beating the heat already, getting in the water out there. It's a nice day so far. And if you are headed to the coast tomorrow, we'll see highs around 88 at Ocean Isle, 88 for Topsail, 89 in Wrightsville Beach, 91 on Emerald Isle, as well as Ocracoke, and 95 in New Bern tomorrow. Saturday, most spots in the upper 80s to lower 90s for the beaches. Myrtle Beach right around 90 degrees for the high on Saturday. A beachy breeze will help out a little bit out there. Check in for an update, though, this afternoon. We'll hear from the National Weather Service offices at the coast, and they will have the official rip current forecast, and we know that's important. A lot of people are going to be getting in the water to cool down this weekend, but, I mean, look at our water temperatures right now. These are buoy temperatures that are reporting, and, you know, the water temperatures around the mid to upper 80s, so it is bath water, even getting in the ocean may not help to cool you off too much as we head into the weekend, but at least it'll help a bit. We're keeping an eye on the tropics. With ocean temperatures, the sea surface temperatures that warm, that's a concern. August, September, typically the peak of hurricane season, especially by mid-September. And the system that we're watching now, it really doesn't look like much on satellite. But by the time we get to the early part of next week, early to middle next week, when it's in this region, it's got about a 40% chance of developing. I will say it's going to struggle a bit with some Saharan dust that's moving across the Atlantic. That's the one limiting factor that it may be running into. Otherwise, the ocean temperature is very warm. So still, the European model as ensembles and the American model do show the potential that this could at least become a depression, but the trend has been to keep it away from the U.S. Our 7-day forecast, the big story, of course, is going to be the heat. High temperatures in the mid to upper 90s through the weekend with a heat index in the triple digits. Early next week, our highs fall back into the upper 80s to lower 90s, and I think we'll be ready for a little bit of a break by then.
We sure will, Kat. Thank you. The countdown is on for Beyoncé's arrival in the Queen City. But before fans join the Renaissance tour, we do have an important update.
And here's a look at the winning Powerball numbers. 3, 16, 40, 48, 60. Powerball is 14. The Power Play is 2.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The search for Alicia Watts has now taken authorities to three different counties. New video shows police in the Charlotte area searching the home of her boyfriend, James Dunmore. Authorities have not said if they found anything in the home or if Dunmore is a suspect or person of interest in her disappearance.
A big child care center could be coming to Cary, not far from the future Apple campus. Maryland-based Celebreeze School wants to build the facility on Green Level Church Road near Kit Creek Road, less than 2 miles from the planned Apple campus. Cary Town Council will hold a public hearing at a meeting tonight and then decide on annexing that land.
A man charged with possession of weapons of mass destruction is expected to appear in court in less than an hour. Police arrested Norman Bray after an incident outside a Sheetz in Holly Springs. Officers say he had a bomb in his car. Bray appears in court at 1:30. We'll be there and let you know what comes of that first appearance later on our evening newscast.
Queen City welcomes the Queen Bee August 9th, but there's an important change you'll want to know about before you attend the Renaissance tour. Ticket holders may have recently received an email from Ticketmaster for the Charlotte concert at Bank of America Stadium. Beyonce was originally scheduled to hit the stage at 7 p.m., but it's been changed to 8 p.m. That time change gives the Beehive a little extra time to get in formation. A ring that rapper Tupac Shakur wore at his last public appearance sold at auction for a record $1 million. That is more than triple the estimate. Legendary rapper wore the gold, ruby, and diamond crown ring at the MTV Music Awards on September 4th of 1996. The 25-year-old was fatally shot a few days later. The band of the ring is inscribed Pac Daddy. 1996. Celebrate his recent engagement to Kenata Jones, the daughter of Quincy Jones.
Boeing is investing $1 million in scholarships to increase diversity in pilot training. The scholarship money is going to five organizations that help develop future pilots from underrepresented groups. More than 95% of the professional pilots in the U.S. are white. Boeing says more than 600,000 new pilots will be needed around the world over the next two decades. Since 2019, Boeing has invested more than $8 million in training programs targeting diverse backgrounds. Sometimes you just need a little cuteness in your life. The San Diego Zoo has welcomed four new capybara pups. They are the world's largest rodent, and they're related to guinea pigs, hamsters, and mice. Capybaras are found in Central and South America.
We sure hope the sun will come out tomorrow or maybe even today for our pet of the day, Annie, from the SPCA of Wake County. This six-year-old spayed female short hair cat is looking for a family she can give all her love. She was told she has lots of personality. Her big round face and soft fur are the cherry on top. Find more information about Annie at spcawake.org.
Those bright eyes. She's very telegenic. The U.S. women's national team is proving to be an international leader in women's sports. Today on our news at 4, find out how other nations look to the team as an example in battles for pay equity and mental health.
Watching some of the women's soccer over there. They're playing in New Zealand and Australia. It's, you know, nearing winter over there. Seeing people in coats and things like that. How refreshing that sounds, right?
Oh, if we could have some of that cold air over here, right?
Not quite yet. Mm-mm. NBC News Daily is up next on WREI, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Think cool thoughts as you look live at Carolina Beach. We hope you have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.